A Russian comedian, I don't know if I'm going to say his name right, Yakov Smirnov. When he first came to the United States from Russia, he was not prepared for the incredible variety of instant products available in the American grocery stores. He says, on my first shopping trip, I saw powdered milk, and just add water, it said, and you get milk. Then I saw powdered orange juice. You just add water and you get orange juice. Wow. And then I saw baby powder. And I thought to myself, what a country. You add water and you get a baby. Smirnoff is joking, of course, but we make these assumptions about Christian transformation. We say, when we accept the Lord, wow, you know, everything just turns around, right? We forget about the journey. Exactly. I mean, yes, it is a transformation that begins, you know, justification by faith. We come to the Lord, we accept Him. That is the beginning. It's the beginning of transformation, but it takes time, isn't it? It takes trials, suffering, temptations that we have been hearing about, the temptations of Jesus that he went through and the trials. It is not just take the powder and add water and become a disciple of Jesus, is it? No, you know that. A study was conducted, and the results was that 11% of church-going teenagers have a well-developed faith, rising to only 32% for church-going adults. So which means 32% of adults and 11% of teenagers develop having a well-defined faith. Wow. It just does not happen. It's not easy as mixing water and receiving a product, isn't it? As the gospel was read this morning, you heard Peter, or the conversation. You know, Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked him, saying, "Why? Lord, you must not suffer." When Jesus talked about his suffering and his death to come, Peter looks at history. He looks at all the kings and those who, the leaders of the nations in Rome and so on and so forth, that they came, they delivered people, they led their people to freedom. They did not die. And what is Jesus talking about? Suffering and death. And as you know, Jesus rebukes Peter. And then Jesus calls his disciples, calls all of them together, and he talks to them. He explains, he understands, he knows what Peter was trying to think or what the disciples had told Peter. How is this? How can he suffer? And so Jesus talks to them. He says, "You must take up your cross and follow me. You must take up your cross and follow me." And Jesus has not even gone to the cross. And the disciples, I'm sure, did not understand the whole story at this time. We must carry a cross, don't we? Service does not always come with big fancy bows. And I think that it is forever true that it is often the humble acts of service that provides us with the deepest sense of joy and the most fulfilling satisfaction. It is not that we get a crown for our service, but the humble behind the scenes work to bring God the glory gives inner joy and satisfaction, isn't it? Jesus said, "Those who are willing to lose their life for my sake shall find it." To me, the most compelling explanation is that he knew many of his followers would give their lives as martyrs. Jesus could not ask his followers to do anything that he was not willing to do himself. He told the crowd, he told the disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." There was a story in a national magazine a few years back about a chef in one of Manhattan's trendiest restaurants called the Spotted Pig. The chef's name is April Bloomfield. April claims that when she first interviewed for the chef's posting at the Spotted Pig, the owners never asked her to cook for them. Instead, co-worker Mario Batel, a famous chef in his own right, hired Bloomfield the minute he saw her scars. Like many committed chefs, Bloomfield's arms are crisscrossed with scars, healed burns that she received while reaching into the oven or stirring a pot or rearranging things on top of the stove. Chefs who bear no scars, says one author, are not passionate about their crafts. Those scars represented persons so focused on the food and so committed to excellence that she is willing to suffer for her work. And you could see those scars in people's lives as well. Those of you who work outside, mechanics, I mean, grease in their hands. I mean, of course, when you look at mine, it's like, this guy doesn't work outside. And those who play the guitar, you know, you know the cello. I mean, you can tell, yes, their hands have been used. Are there scars in your spiritual life? Are you so committed to any cause that it has cost you to suffer? Some of you might say your work. Others would say, well, family or any other situation that you're in. But can you say that your commitment to Christ has cost you any serious inconveniences in your life? I know we talked last Sunday, and I don't want to dwell on that, but just want to highlight the martyrs in the Muslim world. People have suffered in every generation, and we see that even this week. I just read, I've not watched the video yet, not done that yet, but I read about the Coptic Church. Now, these were Christians from the Coptic Church, 21, and then there were children, I hear, this week, who were also had to go through that. The Coptic Church, one of the pastors shared that the church is celebrating their life. I thought, wow. Celebrating in the sense, now they've gone to be with the Lord, they're celebrating the martyrs' lives, families. They are proud that their church, the Coptic Church in Syria, there are those men who are martyred for the name of Jesus Christ, who had sacrificed their lives. And they said, well, let it be known to the world. Let it be known to the world that Jesus is Lord. And I thought, wow, what a retaliation. What a way to retaliate. You know, when we in the Western world, when we think of something, we're like, okay, what do we do next? How can we retaliate such behavior? But when I read this, I was in tears to think, wow. It's a different mentality, a different way of thinking. The church is celebrating that they are able to be martyrs for the name of Jesus Christ. What a cross. What a cross to carry. That means our values are to reflect our faith, isn't it? Our budget needs to reflect our faith. Our giving needs to reflect our faith. How we raise our children, our family, needs to reflect our faith. How we relate to people inside here and people outside these walls need to reflect our faith in Jesus Christ. Every area of our life ought to reflect Jesus. Chef April Bloomfield, has scars on her arms. Where are our scars? This Lenten season is a perfect time to reflect on our lives and ask, what are we prepared to give for the things we believe? Here is again what Jesus says to his disciples and his followers. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross. Listen to that. Take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the sake of the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. These are life-changing words to anyone who is serious about their devotion to Jesus, isn't it? Rembrandt's painting, his famous work of the crucifixion called The Three Crosses, which is in Paris. Among the faces in the crowd beneath the cross, he painted himself, his face. That was his way of saying that he could not envision the crucifixion without admitting that he had participated in. Unfortunately, there are some who never see that. They identify with Christ on the cross rather than Rembrandt's in the crowd. That spiritual, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? Were you there? We are part of that crowd. I mean, we crucify him every single day. Jesus' words to us is, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross. You know, we say, well, yeah, it's up in the front of our sanctuary. We see it every day. Yes, Lord, you were crucified for us. But Jesus says, you take your cross and follow me. Jesus does not simply want us to remember his cross as something he himself suffered on our behalf. Yes, we do that. We remember it, but that's not enough. If he did, he would have simply said, take up my cross and follow me. Instead, he tells us, take up your cross. Take up your cross. I think by that he meant that I must so identify with the event of the crucifixion as to see myself in that story. It is not simply his story, it is our story as well. I think that is, it is most tragic if we go through the entire season of Lent and never fully understand our role in the whole crucifixion arena. It is our choice, isn't it? It is a choice. It is our choice. You can lay down the cross you have been given to bear and passively live your life with no challenge, or you can take it up. You can take it up, which would transform you. It would transform you. It would hurt you. It would not be a bed of roses to walk on. It would hurt you. It would cost you. Like it cost those Coptic Christians in Syria. It would cost you. But it would transform your life. It would just bless your life. Take up your cross and follow me, said Jesus. Are we willing to take up, not just lay it and let it go, or keep it carefully so it won't get stolen? Would we really carry it? Walk, reflecting the love of Jesus in our community and sharing that gospel of love with one another so that they will come to know who Jesus is. May this Lent, may this time that we have in this season help us pick up our cross and be transformed. Amen.